أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الإنسان يا أيها الإنسان صلوات محمد وعلى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وقال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقي صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Indeed, it is one of the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given us this honor to be associated with Quran and with Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. These two great ayat and miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these two major component of guidance, rather they are not just the components, but they are the guidance. They are the guidance. And we have that honor that we are the followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. The household of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Because we have strongly hold to the hadith of the Prophet and his wasiyya that inni taraktu fikum al-thaqlain kitab Allah wa itrati ahla bayti, that I have leaving behind me two great things. One is Quran and other is my household, the divine leaders, Ahlul Bayt. Now how to strongly hold these two things? How to strongly hold these things? The answer is within our homes, within ourselves. Very easy. But sometimes we don't want to answer few questions because we are afraid that if we answer our own queries, then we will feel responsible to fulfill those obligations. So sometimes we say it's better not to answer us. Not to find those answers. Whether we find those answers or not, we have certain responsibility towards our Creator. Toward our Creator, that what to do, how to do, when to do. Relations cannot be strengthened just by living in one house. Relations are strengthened when we develop love and affection, when we fulfill the requirements of each other, when we able to acknowledge the good deeds the other member of our house perform for us, we acknowledge. Son has done something good, we acknowledge. Thank you. Great work you have done. Daughter have done something good, you say wonderful. Thank you, we acknowledge it. If we don't acknowledge, what will happen? What will happen? The relationship will be broken. We will be living in one house, but that child will say, my father doesn't care about whatever I do. My mother doesn't even bother to see what I have done. If they don't get the acknowledgement, the relations will be broken. There will be distance between the relations. Similarly, between husband and wife. Similarly, between parents and their children. Children and grandparents, brothers and sisters, and any other relation, you name it. We need to acknowledge. We need to recognize, respect, fulfill sometimes not only their needs but their wishes as well. So to strengthen the relationship, to develop a house warmth with love and affection, we acknowledge each other, we obey each other, we respect each other. But when it comes to Quran, when it comes to Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we forget the same definition which we have defined for our own family members. The relations, the way we are strengthening our relations in our own family, we forget to do at least something similar. Something similar to what we are doing in our family. To strengthen our relation with Quran. To strengthen our relation with Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. To acknowledge Quran. To acknowledge the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. To praise them. To understand them. To obey them. To follow the commandments and the teachings which they have taught us. It's not just that if we have kept Quran in at home, and sometimes when we get times when we are at, maybe at times we remember to recite Quran when we are in trouble, we have some problem, doing some and sort of a challenging situation. So we remember Allah the most. No. We need to develop relation with Quran. If we want Quran to solve our problems, so we need to listen to the Quran as well. It's reciprocal, my dear. It's not one way. We need to do both ways. Just going to a school or college or university and sitting there in that university for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years will not enable us to learn those things. To learn those things, we need to go to the classes, listen to the teachers, prepare those lectures, those assignments to understand it, analyze it, give its test, and then we succeed, then we graduate. This worldly thing, we need to make efforts. We cannot achieve worldly and materialistic things without making efforts, without having striving. We cannot get something out of it. And we want paradise, Jannah, Hur, without striving, without making any efforts. How it is possible? It's a very, the phrase in Persian says, Bahalwa halwa kardan dahan shirin nami shabad. Just by saying halwa halwa, Your mouth will not be sweetened. You need to eat that halwa. So you need to eat that teachings of Quran and digest it. You need to get that teachings of Ahlul Bayt and understand it and digest it. So it could be the part of your life. Your life. So if we really want to associate ourselves with Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, as they were being together, the Holy Prophet says, لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَ أَبَدًا حَتَّى يَرَدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْزِ. They were never being separate things. They will never in future they will be separated. Until they will reach the house of Kawthar, they will be together. How Quran and Ahlul Bayt yufassiru ba'azahum ba'adha, that they used to explain each other. Quran explains about Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Bayt explains about Quran. They explain each other. Yufassiruhu ba'azahu ba'adha, that some of the ayats explain the other ayat. Ahlul Bayt are ayat ilahi. They are the revelations and the guidance of the divine guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To understand the Ahlul Bayt, we need to read Quran. After the demise of Holy Prophet, when the issues came of leadership, there was a time a person came to Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib, when we come to you, we feel that haq and right is with you. But when we go and sit with other people, your opposition, we feel that the right is with them, the haq is with them. How we can able to understand who is truly on the right path? You know what was his reply? Amirul Mu'mineen's reply? His reply was very simple. He said, Alaykum bil Quran. Alaykum bil Quran. It is up to you to go to Quran and ask that what Quran says, who is on the right path. So we would like to understand the haq of Ahlul Bayt. If you would like to understand the virtues of Ahlul Bayt, if you want to find the superior qualities of Ahlul Bayt, we need to go and understand Quran. And if somebody like to understand Quran, that the Quran cannot be understood without the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. It is impossible. It is impossible to understand Quran and the true teachings of Quran without going and referring to Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. It is impossible. And that's why we see so many opinions. But the just the rightest opinion can only be opt from the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Last night we concluded on the topic that what should be done, how to understand that what we should be doing in our lives. would like to repeat that that poetry which says, Hairan shudam ke meile man ba man cheest, wandar gile tire in dile roshan cheest, umris hazar bar man guyam va man, va man guyam valik man nadanam man cheest. I wonder what my tendency to myself is, and what this light or enlightened heart in this dark mud is. Thousands of times I have said, I say it, but I do not know what I is. The poet says that we strive our entire life to get something for ourselves, and we don't know who we are. We don't even try to understand and try to fulfill it, its needs. Although in this materialistic world, even those who do not believe in Allah and on the day of judgment, they also believe that besides our materialistic needs, we have non-materialistic needs, which includes intellectual needs, which includes spiritual needs. I gave example last night. People, atheists, they give charity. Why they give charity? They say, we feel good at heart. So there is something over there going on in our heart, which is not materialistic. This heart doesn't matter for us. This heart, that where we are living, what car we are driving, what sort of clothing we are wearing, what sort of environment in we are living. Heart, there are something. Just if I recite too much poetry, we'll say it's not good. Maybe for the Persian people it would be good. But the Maulana Rumi over here, it says, just I will take something over here from him. So Maulana Rumi says this. It says, there is a voice is coming from inside. There's something going on in our inside. What is that voice which is coming for inside? So there is something. Don't put your hands on my mouth. Let me speak about it. So don't suppress that voice which is coming from inside. Because that voice will help us to understand who we really are. This materialistic world also help us to understand. But at times we deviate. We go astray. But our heart, when we go to our hearts and able to purify our thoughts, and the different voices which is coming from our hearts, positive, negative, need to clear it out. Fine-tune it. You know, when you are on the, like on the radio, on the frequency, what you do when you are getting the disturbance from different voices, you fine-tune it to get it clear voice. So we need to fine-tune it. Allah has created men not just to live by his own and without any purpose. In Quran, Allah has mentioned that we have the destination for mankind is not in this world, his destination is hereafter in paradise. خَالِدُونَ فِيهَا. For the Jannat, for the paradise he has been made. We have made this man to go to the paradise. Paradise which is being made by Allah, not other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there have been more than one paradise, there have been news from other gods as well, that we have other paradise other than what Allah has said. Man arafa nafsah arafa rabbah. We need to understand ourselves. The basic thing to understand ourselves, that to clear our vision of life, number one, basic thing. Define life for ourselves. What is life? Life, if we define that it is from cradle to grave, if we have this definition for ourselves, that means we are wrong. Lives do not end in this world. It continues after we have been transferred from this world to our graves, and from our graves to the day of judgment, on the ground of judgment, towards paradise, or God forbid, towards hell. So people will be living over there, abada, forever over there. The materialistic world give us the world view and world vision limited only to this materialistic world. That's it. 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, 200 years. That's it. This is the world view. This is the world view which has been given in this world. These materialistic philosophers with limited knowledge, the philosophers which cannot go beyond their materialistic limitations. No philosopher, even a Muslim philosopher, cannot go beyond his materialistic limits unless and until he seek guidance from the divine guides, that is Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. I hope it's tonight's discussion is not too dry, but it is important. I'm trying to summarize it and trying to explain it so every person can understand that we have been sent in this world with a mission. We have a mission to be accomplished. It's not that we have been sent to live with ourselves and we feel that we will reach excellence on our own. Why in this world? Leave the other world. In this world, in our materialistic world, if you want your son and daughter to be excellent, not to reach the highest level of excellence, but being a very good person, a successful person, what you will do, let me rephrase it. Most of people who have migrated in this part of the world, why they have migrated? One of the basic reason of migration was to get good studies, good knowledge, to study in good universities, or come over here so their children can be raised in an environment where they have gone to a good school, good universities, so they can be a successful person in this world. One of the basic things. Another was, of course, to raise our financial resources and these things. But one of the prime important thing, it's not for the Muslims, all the people coming from the other world, from this part of the world, or the European place, UK or other places, one of the basic objective was that they themselves and their children can have acquire good schooling and go to the good universities so they could be a successful person. So we have made something by ourselves that we can reach excellence if we go to a good university. We have made this ourselves in this world. If universities, how a university becomes a good university? Because they make sure the teachers, they acquire, the professors, they hire over there, the services they hire, they should be the best. So ultimately, it's the teacher, the perfection and excellence of teacher, given excellent teaching, so we can reach ourselves, or we can develop that ability to enhance ourselves to that level of excellence, of this worldly excellence. So if our vision is this world, maybe this definition fits over here. This is our life, 100 years, that's it. In this 100 years, we need to get to the best university of the world. Okay, we strive for it. That's it. But what if our vision is not limited to this world? It goes beyond it, beyond. In the dunya mazra'atul akhira, that this world is the cultivating ground for akhira. That, oh person, your life will not perish and finish in this world. What we usually say is, when we hear about someone has died, we say inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that we belong to Allah, wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that we will return back to Allah. That doesn't say that we are going to perish. No, we are not going to perish. It is the blessing of Allah, that once Allah has given a blessing and bounty, He do not take it back. Life is one of the blessings and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not going to take it back. Yes, He will transfer us from one world to this world, and from this world to our graves, and from our graves to Jannah inshallah, or maybe to hell. So life in the vision of Islamic teaching, the world view, the life view, it's not just a world view actually. It's a universal view. It's not just a universal view of life, but it's itself a life view. We cannot, because these English people has named it, branded it, world view. Otherwise, it is the philosophy of life in the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, that we will not limit and live only in this world. Kindly recite Salat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. To gain more energy or power, recite Salawat second time as well. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. when the lectures are usually boring, so it's better to recite third time as well. Well, it gives energy, at least those people who are a little bit, you know, get the chance to close their eyes, so they, you know, they just wake up by just a recitation of Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, alhamdulillah. So the life's view is that we have to live not only in this world of limited years, rather it will be a long, very long life. We don't know till when. We don't know. So if we have this, then we have to find a teacher, a guide, a university, a manuscript, a curriculum which can give excellence not only in this world but rather for hereafter as well. You need to find it. So where are you going to find it? Oxford, Harvard, where? My dear, we won't be able to find anywhere in the world except Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Except these. Because these people will be the excellent people. Just to give you, you people know about it. But just to remind, if we are praising the scientists of today, these scientists of today and the development of science and technology in our time, which we say is the miracle of our time, all scientists and all those people who get benefit from these science and technology, they should be thankful and grateful to Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. Because he was the person who gave knowledge about physics, chemistry, biology, astronomy, astrology, zoology, geography, you name it, all those sciences and knowledge which required for the enhancement of mankind and for the development of a better society was been taught by Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. It's still, somebody was telling me, and I think in Harvard, somewhere it's written about Jaber bin Hayyan that he was the disciple of Imam Jafar Sadiq. People praise Jaber bin Hayyan. And who was Jaber bin Hayyan? He was the disciple of Imam Jafar Sadiq. People forget the person who has put the seed of what fruits we are getting right now. That seed was being put into the ground by Imam Jafar Sadiq. And how he got it? From where he got it? From Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Because they are all successors of the Holy Prophet. It's from Islam. But unfortunately, because we do not read Islam, its history, so we forget to, we do not know how to acknowledge it, how to praise it, how to explain it, how to convince ourselves and to others. We feel apologetic in this society. Why? Why? Why we feel apologetic? Why we praise other people's culture and forget our own culture? Why we praise other people's teachings and morals and we forget the teachings given to us by Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam? The basic thing is we are not really aware of the teachings provided to us by Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. What Quran says, after what we say that view, having this, developing this view, what should be, from where we should start, how to start? In Surah Ra'd, verse number 11, Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. Allah says, God does not change what is in people until they change what is in them. ما بقوم. Allah will not change any nation by itself. It's not going to be miraculous. You need to change. You need to revive yourself. You need to purify your thoughts, your action, your deeds. Then you will get the result. Quran says, whosoever make efforts will get its fruits. If we will make efforts, we will get fruits. Our opposition, our enemy will make efforts, they will get fruits. Whosoever make an effort, he will get fruit. So we need to start from ourselves. From ourselves. We need to go through ourselves. What is right, what is wrong. How to get it. It's not that we have been made just to spend over here life. No, there is something, there is a mission we have to do. What to do? What is the test? We go to the university for 4 years, we have given so many assignment tests. Every week there is a test. Every week there is a exams. Why? Only for this world? Yes. To get a better job? Yes. For this world, we do give so many tests. But for that world in which we are going to live forever and ever, we are not ready to take any sort of challenges. So it's that we should prepare ourselves. How to prepare? Surah Shams says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُّحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَالْلَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا فَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. After swearing 11 times, if Allah says something in Quran once, it's okay, it's finished. It's an obligation for us. It's what's so important that Allah has mentioned in Quran. Now if Allah swears once, oh wow. But now over here Allah has sweared 11 times, and that, and in the end he says, قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The prosper person, the successful person, is the one who will purify himself and herself. قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the one who will not restrain from bad deeds, wrongful doings, that person will be a failure. In Surah As, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal Asr, Innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bil sabr. Each and every person of this mankind is a failed person, is in khusran, except those people who have these four qualities. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَمَلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ will do good deeds. What are the good deeds? Just within the brackets. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Good deeds are the deeds which are been performed in accordance to the belief. If they do not match, they are not good deeds. If we believe in one thing, but we perform something else, we believe that lying is a virtue, truth is a virtue, and still we lie. So, we believe that truth is a virtue, but our action is lying. So it cannot be. Although, in our society nowadays, especially in business field, it's very common. Oh, it's a part of a business. No, it's not a part of a business. It's not a part of a life. It cannot be a part of a life because lying is not a virtue. Similarly, other things. It's not, over here it says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ that we may advise each other with haq and righteous. We may guide each other. This is right, this is wrong. Guide each other. Have sessions of awareness. Impart knowledge. And watawasaw bis sabr. I know what is right, what is wrong. But at times when I am in a difficult position, you know, at times I feel like doing something wrong. Like in schools, in offices, peer pressure. Everyone is going to club. Everybody is going into the party where alcohol will be served, haram food will be served. I'm also being like pressurized that I should also attend. If I don't attend, you know, my friends will be make fun of me and like I will be isolated, I will be cut off, how I can live without my friends. And we gave excuse to ourselves and try to justify our actions. Over here is the responsibility of other good friend to give him support. No, don't worry. If you are doing something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be, Allah will help you out. Just to conclude tonight's discussion, that the vision we should have, or we can develop by giving a little more extra thought, is that we will not going to live in this world our life will not be limited to this world only. Our life is extended life in this world and hereafter. Number two, if our life is extended life till hereafter, then our working, our mission, our learning, our actions should also cover all the parts of my life. Not only this 50, 60, 70 years of my life. I should learning not to earn in this world only, but also learn to earn for that world as well. The third thing, no philosopher can give us that view and vision of that world until we connect ourselves with divine revelation and divine guides, that is the Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, because they are the teachers for a successful life in this world and hereafter as well. Success, they will define what are the virtues, what is good, what is bad. Governments are not supposed to define it. Societies, they are not supposed to define it. It's not something just defined as a good because you like it, has been defined in pluralism, that whatever you like is good, whatever you don't like is bad. No, There should be a direction, because societies change, it evolves. You have seen, if you just go through the past 100 years of even this society in which you are living, you can see how much values have been changed. Only the Islamic teachings and values are constant. Constant. And being constant is not something you say, it's something orthodox. 2 plus 2 was from beginning was 2 plus 2 plus 4. And still after thousands of years, 2 plus 2 is 4. Nobody says why maths is like that. Nobody says why. Everyone needs maths in his life. Nobody says we are not going to learn maths because 2 plus 2 was 4 5,000 years back, and still it is the same thing. Okay? Values are constant because there is a destination for which Allah would like to guide His creation, that these are the values. If you follow these values, you will reach that destination that is paradise. That is Rizwanullah. That is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the biggest achievement of a person. And that's what we see in the whole tragedy of Karbala. What one of the lessons? Karbala is the complete school which a person can learn each and every thing from this battlefield of Karbala. From Medina to Karbala, and from Karbala to Sham, and from Sham to back to Medina. If you go through this, you will learn each and everything. There is a lesson for everyone. For every era of our life, you will see there is a lesson. Allahu Akbar. Values, the vision of hereafter makes a person brave, makes a person happy, successful. He never feels that he has failed in his mission. Whether he lived for a longer life comparatively, or he may give his life on the path of his mission, divine mission. Yesterday we mentioned that while on his way to Kufa, Imam Hussein, and the news came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam that Hazrat Muslim has been killed with brutality. How this happened? Hazrat Muslim bin Naqil was a messenger of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and was been sent to Kufa to get the allegiance from those tribes who have written letters of invitation, not in tens, not in hundreds, but in thousands. They've invited Imam alayhi salam again and again, and insist that he should come, that we all are ready. We are just waiting for your help, that you should come and guide us and lead us, and we will stand against Yazid. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Muslim went over there. He took allegiance from different tribal leaders. But what happens? When Ibn Ziyad reached over there, he changed. He bribed people. He imprisoned people. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. One by one, those people, those weak people at heart, those weak people in Iman, the allegiance they gave to Muslim, for Imam Hussain alayhi salam, they back out from the allegiance. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Mukhtar was been imprisoned. He was the host of Hazrat Muslim. And what happened on the day which should not be happened, when Hazrat Muslim was leading prayers of Maghrib and Isha, Masjid was full of mu'mineen, so-called mu'mineen. But when he finished his Isha prayers and he turned around, there was no one and he was left alone. He was left alone. The beginning of Karbala has from here, from Muslim, that as Imam Hussein was in Karbala left alone, Muslim was left alone in this city where he was a stranger. In the dark night, he went from one lane, one street to another to hide from those people of enemy. He felt thirst. He was tired. He just sat close to the doors, one of the house. A lady, an old lady, opened the door to see if his son has come back. He saw that a man is sitting. He said, "Why you are sitting in the darkness of this night when the Ibn Ziyad's people are around and hunting over here for a messenger of Hussein? Who you are?" He said, "I just want water. Can you fetch me a water?" She said, "Yes, I can give you a water, but let me know who you are." He said, "I am the messenger of Hussein alayhi salam. I am being left alone. I am thirsty. Just give me some water." So she invited, because she was amongst the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, she invited Muslim into her house. And she gave some water. He was close to drink that water, son of that lady entered and saw Muslim is here. So he called enemy, and he, Muslim, was bravely fought with those people. It's been mentioned in some of the books that Hazrat Muslim killed more than 140 people. 140 people. And then when able to overpower Muslim, they deceived him by saying, "Muslim, look, you are in peace. If you put down your sword, nothing will be done. Just we will talk and that's it. We are not going to put you in prison or kill you." So Muslim believe. Muslim asked not once but thrice, "Is I am in peace?" They say, "Yes, you are in peace." But as Muslim put his sword down, they took him, they injured him, they took him to Ibn Ziyad. Allahu Akbar. And Hazrat Muslim, the blood was coming from all parts of his body, from his head, from his shoulders, because he was being hurt. Hazrat Muslim was being asked to give allegiance for Yazid. He said, "Ibn Ziyad, are you asking me to give allegiance to Yazid? It cannot be happen, as my Imam hasn't given allegiance, so I am not going to give allegiance to Yazid." Allahu Akbar. So he said, "So do you have any last wishes?" He said, "Yes, just I would like to have some water." Water was being brought to him and he wanted to drink some water. A drop of blood fell into that water. The water becomes najis. He he gave it back and he asked for some other water. Again, the same thing happened. Once again, a new fresh water was being brought for him. Again, something happened. Maybe he, because he was the messenger of Imam Hussein, as all people in Karbala, they were being martyred, thirsty. So maybe Imam Hazrat Muslim were being killed thirsty to be with the people of Karbala. Hazrat Muslim was being taken on the rooftop and he was being beheaded and his body was being thrown from the roof. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. His body was being dragged the entire city of Kufa to show the people, look, he was the messenger of Hussein to whom you have given allegiance. If you will give allegiance, you will be killed. Allahu Akbar. But the story and the problem of Muslim did not end over here. After he was been martyred, they tried to catch these two sons of Muslim. Allahu Akbar. These two little kids, they left Kufa. They tried to hide from one place to another. They reached as the place. They get some. They rest. Allahu Akbar. One of the enemy, he saw these two brothers hiding in his house. He took them. He took them to the seaside. And over there he beheaded the older one and the younger one. They both were been killed. They both were been martyred. Allahu Akbar. These were the first shahada of Karbala. They gave their life for the love of Islam, for the love of Hussein alayhi salam. So the news when they reached to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Assalamu alayka ya aqi Muslim, O my brother Muslim, my salam to you. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifinaik, alayka minni salamu allahi abada ma baqitu wa baqiya al-layl wa al-nahar wa la ja'alahu allahu akhara al-ahd minni liziyaratikum. Assalamu ala al-husayn wa ala ali ibn al-husayn wa ala awlad al-husayn wa ala ashab al-husayn. ألا ولا نطل على قوم ظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرام وبدم مقتولك بكربلاء. Together يا الله 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 يا الله. ربنا تقبل منا هذا القليل. Oh Allah, accept this little ibadah from us. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to be amongst the true followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Oh Allah, enlighten our hearts with the light of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Oh Allah, Allah, forgive our sins and the sins of our parents and our forefathers. Bihaqq al-Husayn alayhi salam. Ilahi, ilahi, bihaqq al-Husayn alayhi salam. Allah, give success and victory to the army of Haqq. Allah, give help and assist all the oppressed people of the world. O Allah, give us tawfiq to be true followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farah sharif, and give us tawfiq to be amongst the true followers of him. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma kull waliyyika al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل الساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه في فيها طويلا مع تمام حسين يا حسين